In one of the most dramatic scenes in Scripture is Jesus before Pilate in John chapter 18. If it was today, they would have it on pay-per-view, and they would be showing, here's this and here's that. Here's a man, Pilate, who thought he had Jesus in the palm of his hand, and his destiny was in his hand, Jesus knowing full well why he was there. Not scared of Pilate at all. Pilate is asking him questions. Jesus is ignoring most of them until he asks the first one, and until he asks one that mattered, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said, well, this is not my kingdom. In verse 37, Jesus responded, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to do a couple things here. To testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. It's still that way. Everyone on the side of truth is going to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate, he just blew up. He responded, what is truth? And that's exactly what you hear in our world today. What is truth? Who can I go to and listen to and know that they're not twisting it in some manner? Well, you can't trust the government. You can't trust science. You can't trust physicians. Who do I trust? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to my friends on Facebook. They wouldn't lie to me. What is truth? The question Pilate asked over 2,000 years ago is the same question in every generation. Jesus has already answered this in John 14, verse 6. He says, I am the way and the truth. And the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, not just to salvation, but the way to truth and the way to life. It doesn't matter if you're 12 or 6 or 66 or 100. It does not matter. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the only one, the only way to be accepted by the Father. You're going to try everything else. He says, but I'm the only way to Him. I am the only one and the only place of complete and perfect truth. He cannot lie to you. He cannot twist the facts to you. Because if He does, He ceases to be God. I'm the one and only light for living. If you want to know what truth is, you want to know how to live this life, to be blessed, to be encouraged, to have peace, there's only one way, and that's through the teaching of Jesus Christ and the Word of God that He has given us, so we would know how to live down here, how to think down here, but also how to see myself. Because I'm convinced that the majority of people see themselves as failures. Weak. Unable to walk this life. Failures. That is not how God views you. John chapter 8, verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Is that truth? Okay, let's shut the doors. We're done. You don't believe that one. Is it truth?
Yes.
Yes. If the Son sets you free, from what? Well, Randy, he's just talking about salvation. Are you sure? So often as Christians, we stop at forgiveness of sins and we don't let it filter all the way down through our life into every experience, every thought, every failure, every care, every powerlessness. He has come to set us free. And folks, when He sets you free, you're really free. Free indeed.
Amen.
Romans 6, verse 6. So Randy, I struggle. Yeah, but look what He's told you. This is who you are. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. On that cross, God the Father looks as if you have already died. That whole body has been done away with. And the reason he does that so that since we should no longer be slaves to sin. It does not have to grasp you. It does not have to dictate your life. It does not have to ruin your life. But it can if you yield to it. We have been set free.
Right.
Are you living free? Are you living free? There is still a struggle with sin. But we have been equipped with God to stand strong, regardless of what this world throws at us. Regardless of whether he changes your circumstance or not. As Jonathan prayed, most of the time we want to just change our circumstance. Sometimes he does. Most of the time he walks through that storm with us. It was a deception that started in the Garden of Eden. And it is extended down through history and will continue until Jesus returns. That deception is one to remove you from the joy of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord, to dictate how you think about yourself and your relationship. It is deception from Satan himself. Paul instructed us last week that we are in a spiritual battle. And it's mostly a battle of deceptions. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. If it was against flesh and blood, we might be able to stand up against it. But that's not what it is. It's forces you can't even see. How do you fight against that? And they don't fight like a physical man would fight. It fights wicked. It goes to the heart. It goes to the mind and emotions. It's against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. That's who our struggle is with. It's not the person in front of you screaming at you. It's not the person here. What's behind that? It's a force behind that. Good news. John tells us, Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I'm here for you. I will not leave you unprepared. I will not leave you unprotected, without hope and without truth. I will not do that to you. The world will, but I won't. So I'm going to give you things. I'm going to give you my presence in the Holy Spirit to let you know who you are. Let you know and have the mind of Christ within you. I'm going to tell you and teach you all that I have done for you that you can't see so that you can fight this spiritual battle. It's all found in Christ. He's done it in salvation. And this is, with this new relationship, he brings the end to our experiences of life. Paul instructs us that we are to think truthfully about who we are in Christ. Who are you in Christ Jesus? What has he provided? So often we know this. We've been taught that. You've heard me say this for 20-some years now. Who we are in Christ Jesus. But have you grabbed it and made it yours? This is who I am. We need to grab that truth, make it ours. Let it change our hearts and minds. It's not just a forgiveness of the sin debt. It's truth, and this truth will allow you to overcome every fiery arrow that your enemy will throw at you. Every one of them. But you've got to know who you are. You've got to know what Christ has provided for you and through you. It'd be hard for Paul, I would think, in prison, writing this epistle. I mean, he's in prison for doing nothing more than proclaiming Jesus Christ. He's not a political rebel. He's not talked to overthrow the government. He's not done any of that. He has just portrayed and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus, and he finds himself in prison, chained to a couple guards. And he's thinking about his friends in Ephesus and the struggles they're having. And he wants to encourage them, to give them strength because of what they're going through. And this is really his words of encouragement. You're not alone. You've got weapons you do not even know of. We need to stand because our commander is in control. And as he looks at these guards, he begins to form that thought in his mind. He sees the strength of their armor and their ability to use their armor and weapons with precision, for they have been taught to do that. And his mind wanders to the equipment that God has given us. And he grasps the idea of the armor provided, which is much more powerful than any Roman guard out there. Ephesians, our scripture today, 6:13 through 15. Since we are therefore in a spiritual battle, put on the full armor of God. Partial armor won't protect you. I could leave the helmet off. Won't last long, because they're going for that. I could leave the breastplate off. I could leave the belt off. We're going to be talking about all some of these today. But the full armor, see yourself fully of who you are in Christ Jesus and what he has done for you. The full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything you know to do, you've cast your cares upon him, you've believed, you know who you are in Christ Jesus, and he tells us to do nothing more than stand and watch him work. Verse 14. Stand firm then. Here's how you do that. With a belt of truth buckled around your waist. With a breastplate of righteousness in place. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. I'll call it the boots of peace. Let's pray. Father, verse that most of us know here. We've read it, we've studied it. But still we struggle with it. I pray that your spirit now would just enlighten the hearts and minds, the mouth of, as I speak, the thoughts that I have, that it may be yours. That, Father, you will be glorified, but we will leave here knowing the strength that we have in Christ Jesus. And yes, the circumstances will be beating us down, but we will not be left alone, and we are not hopeless. So enlighten us now, that we may go out and live, and I praise you in your name. Amen. Please note, Paul did not say, if the day of evil comes. He says, when the day of evil comes. It's coming to each one of us. He is speaking mostly of the last time, but folks, we each have days of evil in our lives. He understands they're going to come into our lives. They get more frequent as we age, and as we get closer to Jesus' return, they're going to be there. You're seeing part of the world today, and I do believe that it's just kind of warming up to when the time of Christ comes, as more evil comes upon us. It will come, and we can get ourselves ready. We must get ourselves ready. Think of a hurricane or a tornado or a flash flood. If you're down there on the Gulf and a hurricane's coming, you're getting ready for it, okay? First thing you're doing is going, give me the number. What number is it? If it's a 1, I may stay. If it's a 2, I may stay. If it's 3, I'm getting out of here because I don't know what this thing. You get ready for it. You board up the windows and so forth. If a tornado is coming and you know it's coming your way, you're getting someplace safe. Same thing, to live life, we've got to get ourselves ready for this. But a soldier needs to know some things. He needs to know the chain of command. Who do I listen to? I can't take a command from everybody that's walking around out into this base. When I am under fire, who has the authority to give me the commands so I know what to do? What are my assigned weapons? And what jobs do I perform? What do I do? How am I supposed to do this? How do I respond? When I'm being shot at, how do I respond? That's mostly the first, as I understand it, the first few months is nothing more than teaching them who is in control and how they respond. We do that as Christians as well. If we don't learn this, we will respond like the rest of the world, and there will be nothing for Christ to highlight in our lives, and we will miss the strength and the blessing of what's going on. Paul is also using his extensive knowledge of the Old Testament. Isaiah 11, verse 5, the Messiah will come with a belt of righteousness and faithfulness. We find Isaiah 59, verse 17, refers to the Messiah donning the righteousness as a breastplate and putting on a helmet of salvation on his head. So as Paul is looking at this and he's forming the idea of the letter in his mind, he's thinking of these verses. Isaiah 52 verse 7 refers to the beauty of the feet of those who bring good news of happiness, salvation, and the kingdom of God. All of those apply to the Messiah, but folks, the Messiah has given those to us as well. Verse 13, he gives us some commands first. Put on, stand firm. That's the two commands we've got. I wish I could be like Iron Man. I'd love to fly. Wouldn't it be great to be able to have a suit like Iron Man? That when things started happening, we could put that suit on and just once, to touch a button, maybe a spoken word. And then all of a sudden, all this stuff starts coming to you and you're ready. Something like this.
Take shelter in whatever crude dwellings they can find in the ruins of other villages, or here in the remnants of an old Soviet smelting plant. Recent violence has been attributed to a group of foreign fighters referred to by locals as the Ten Rings. As you can see, these men are heavily armed and on a mission that could prove fatal to anyone who stands in their way. With no political will or international pressure, there's very little hope for these refugees. Around me, a woman begging for news on her husband, who was kidnapped by insurgents, either forced to join their militia.
Tony Stark was as weak as mud without his suit. Weak as mud. He had to have that, he had to put that on to be Iron Man. But the most important thing is his suit couldn't help him a lick where he was most vulnerable. His heart, his mind, his desires, and his emotions. Wouldn't have helped him a lick. Our protection is from God Almighty.
Right.
And it may not protect us externally, but it will protect us, our heart, our mind, our desires, and emotions, so that we may be able to stand. So what does putting on mean? He tells us we've got to put it on. Well, you got to know and understand what needs put on. Doesn't do any good if you don't know what your armor is. You must know how to put it on. Some of us are a little challenged when we put things together, okay? So you need to know how to put it on. You must know why you need to put it on. Because, folks, sometimes we don't understand that. Imagine a recruit coming in, and they've got a new recruit, and they're throwing all of his equipment to him, and they say, go out here in this foxhole, you're going to be shot at. No, he's got to be trained. And there are weeks of training on how to think like a soldier, and weeks of training on the weapons to use and how to use them. The purpose is that so they will be protected, efficient, and obedient when under pressure. So that they will be protected, efficient, and obedient under pressure. You are God's child, and you must know how to put on your spiritual armor for this same reason. You got to know what it is. You got to know why it is. You got to know how to put that thing on. When someone receives Jesus as Lord and Savior, they are a fresh recruit. They know about that Jesus died for their sins. They know about the resurrection, but they don't know all this other stuff, and they shouldn't until after the fact. You'll just confuse them. And they still think like somebody without Jesus most of the time. They have the Spirit within them. That's why Jesus tells us to make disciples in Matthew. That we may know who we are. That we will allow His Word to just fill us and change us. They must be instructed in who Jesus is. He's not just a miracle worker. He is not just a Savior who died on the cross. He is God in the flesh, and He came because of His great love and the Master's plan. He is the one who has filled us with His Holy Spirit, and He is the one who has promised to present us faultless before the Father with great joy. That's who He is. And He will walk through this life with you. They needed to know who they now are in Christ Jesus and learn to apply what Christ has provided. Not just words. How do we apply that? And their instruction manual is God's Word. Here's how I want to live. The precepts and principles in there you apply to your daily lives. The Spirit of God will take that and will instruct you on how to think and how to respond and what to do. Very few thou shalt and thou shalt nots in Scripture. Mostly principles so that the Spirit of God can use them in whatever event is coming your way. But you must choose to make those instructions yours. You must choose to put on what Christ has provided for you. Once training, we must choose to accept what Christ has provided and begin living through that. Here's who I am. Here's who I think. Here's how I think. Here's the emphasis that I must move. It is a daily choice, sometimes an hourly, sometimes a minutely choice. Here's who I am. Father, here's what I want to do. I know that I'm not supposed to. Here's what I want to do. I choose to look through truth and to make a different decision than I have in the past. You must choose to see truth through truth and respond to Christ, your commander. Why? So you can stand secure, confident when pressure comes upon you, when the attacks come, when the fiery darts of the enemy comes. You must be able to stand confident in who you are in Christ Jesus. About battery time, isn't it? We have to learn to use the weapons of truth that God has placed in our hearts and our minds. We have to learn our commander is trustworthy. Can you trust Jesus? Randy, I trusted Him for my salvation. That's not what I asked. Do you trust Him when the pressure is on? Do you trust Him when society tells you something's different? Do you trust Him to change you into His image? We must learn to trust the grace that He's given us in all areas of our lives. Grace to be strong. Grace to forgive. Grace to not fear what's out there. Grace to stay away from the what ifs. His grace. His grace. And then we will be able to stand with confidence when life gets really rough. So many Christians try to learn this when life gets rough, and you can't do it. You might know the words, but you've not experienced it. You're not trained on that. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him." Blessed is the one who trusts the Lord. That's where your confidence is at. So Paul mentions the first three things of our armor. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the boots of peace. Belt of truth. It was a 6-inch belt that came around the center. Think of a weightlifter's belt today. It was it secured everything else in place. And they wore robes or back then that went down about most of the way down. And they would have to, if they were going to fight, they would have to cinch those things up, keep their legs free. But it also held their scabbards and their swords and stuff like that. It kept everything in place, and it allowed the soldier to be free, protected, and agile to attack. We need that belt of truth wrapped around us in Paul's image, that truth of God's word revealed in our hearts. It also includes God's character and his integrity that we are to imitate. I can trust God because he's been consistent throughout all the year. His integrity is true. He does not change, and his love for me will never fail. It is practical living is what we need. We need the truth of character and doctrine to keep us from falling apart. Where is God? Exactly where he's always been. It doesn't feel like he's with me. He is with me because he promised never to leave me nor forsake me. It is taking God's truth and seeing our lives through that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. How many have used that sentence this week? Now, so prepare your minds for action. How do you do that? How do you prepare your mind for action? You got to be in God's word. You got to spend time with him. You got to understand that life is going to change. Things are going to happen. Rough times are coming. You prepare your mind for action, and you be completely sober in spirit, steadfast, self-disciplined, spiritually and morally alert, so we do not walk this earth in a fog. You fix your hope completely on the grace of God that is coming to you when Christ Jesus is revealed. You prepare your minds for action. You take all of your cares, all of your hurts, and all of your failures, anything that trips or hinders you, and you bind them under that belt of truth, and you leave them there. So often we will bind them, and we will take them out every so often to look at them. And they bring us down. That's not who we are anymore. We are a born-again child of God. Yes, there are failures in our past. Yes, there are things we wish we could do over in our past. We bind them up under the truth and says, that's no longer who I am. I am a born-again child of God. I am loved by the Father. Jesus has got me secure in his hand. Nothing can take me out of his hand. He has promised me everything I need to be able to stand secure, no matter what the pressure. Here I stand. Belt of truth. Paul also tells us to keep that belt pulled tight. Keep the word of God close to you, at the center of your life. That's why we need to be in his word, not just reading it. What's it mean to me today? How do I apply this today? How do I capture the mind of Christ, no matter what the circumstance? As members of God's army, we are to stay true to what the Bible says is right. Doing so will keep us safe from countless dangers as he weaves us through this life. The belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. It was a large piece of leather or bronze or chainmail that covered both the front and the back. Went from the neck down to his thighs. And it protected the soldier's vital organs, the core of his physical life. Without which, he would die in minutes if he didn't have that. They would go after him. And Paul's perfect image of this is righteousness that comes from God alone, the righteousness that he chooses to give us because of our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, the acceptance of him as not just our Savior and our Lord. We are declared righteous. We're not righteous. We do unrighteous deeds, but we are declared righteous. God the Father looks at us through the work of Jesus Christ and declares us righteous, not to be earned, not to be maintained by our own strength. He gives us that as a loving Father gives gifts. Romans 3:22, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Who's excluded? If you're in Christ Jesus, no one. You are not excluded. That righteousness covers our hearts, our emotions, our passions. passions. It covers us. Our enemy loves to direct his arrows at our heart, our mind, and emotions, shooting us, bringing up old memories, fears that we had, failures of the past. Well, will God really love you? You know that's not what, you don't see that down here. He longs to plant a seed of doubt of God's infinite grace for you. Will he really be there when you take that last breath? Will he really be there when you need him and when the pressure is the hardest? And he longs to put doubt in your mind. And that causes insecurity. And missiles of doubt, guilt, shame, and condemnation will tempt us to doubt God's love for us. Let me ask you, does God really love you? Does God really love you? You've got to answer that. He doesn't love me sometimes, and other times he tolerates. That's what we do. Does God really love you? Is God's word and promises really for you? You've got to answer that. His word says they are. But you've got to answer that. If God loved me, why would he allow this in my life? If God really loved me, why didn't he change this circumstance? If God really loved me, why did he take this person away or that person? If God really, that's the doubt he puts in our minds. When we stand firm in the knowledge that God has declared us righteous, based solely on the blood of Christ, and empowers us to live holy lives by the Holy Spirit alone, the devil and his wicked workers must retreat for a time. For a time. That breastplate of righteousness covers our hearts, our minds, our passions. But he also talks about the boots of peace. Roman soldiers had heavy sandals, had about 3/4 inch thick sole on it, and they were studded with hollow-headed hobnails. They were tied mostly up on their shins, wool behind it to keep them from sliding, keep them on your feet. No flip-flops in the Roman guard. They were ideal for fast-moving, hand-to-hand combat. Think of football cleats, think of baseball cleats, soccer cleats. The purpose was maximum footing and traction to prevent sliding. So our footing, our foundation against the days of evil is our peace with God. Folks, we are at peace with a holy, righteous God. And that's got to guide you. It's not based on our production down here. It's not based on what we do or do not do. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are at peace with God. Peace completely. And that foundation will keep us strong when the pressure is against us, pushing us, longing to push us back. Christ has already secured that peace for us. You'll find that in Ephesians chapter 2. And that peace is not only with God, but with each other and folks, ourselves. Do you forgive the failures of the past? Randy, the circumstances are still here. Yeah, circumstances may still be here, but you're at peace with God. Are you at peace with each other? Is there somebody that you're hanging on to out here that you hope God sends some lightning to someday? There won't be peace. Look at Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Wonderful promise. Right now, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The pressure will come to convince us that God will reject us and judge us if we falter, if we're not perfect. If we know our peace with God is secure, because God said it's secure, we can stand stable and firm in this troubled world. Everything could be falling around us. Everything could seem like the pressure is too great, but we stand in the peace of God and allow him to strengthen us. But it's not enough to just possess the gifts. They got to be buckled. They must be put in place. they must be fitted. In other words, you must put it on. We talked about that earlier. Jose Ballou tells about a relative that was in his family. And through decisions of his own and some hard times, he found himself elderly, living in a tar paper shack. You know what that is. So the family come together and they said, you know, God's blessed us greatly. Let's build a nice little house for him. And right next door, they built a nice little house for him. Had this stuff in it. You know, he never moved in. It was his. Didn't have to pay rent. No, it was his. He preferred the tar paper shack. Folks, do we prefer the tar paper relationship with Jesus Christ? Or do we want to move into the structure that he has given us? That is a blessing that he has provided for us. We have looked at three great blessings from God. Truth, righteousness, and peace. Those are ours right now in Christ Jesus. Every born-again child of God has been blessed with them, given to us by a loving Father. But unless we buckle that belt of truth around us, we're not going to live through it. If we don't put on the breastplate of righteousness, knowing that that's ours, it will not help us any. If we do not have our feet secure in His peace, then when the pressure comes, we will fall through it. We'll be pushed back. And it'll be nothing more than nice feelings on Sunday mornings when Randy says something about it. We must accept them as ours in Christ Jesus. This is who I am. This is who I am. I have the truth of Jesus Christ available to me in the Holy Spirit. I have the breastplate of righteousness that God has given to me. I am at peace with God Almighty. I will stand firm. We must trust our Heavenly Father to make them true in our lives. And that is your prayer. Make them true. Help me, Father, to understand what you have provided for me. Because I'm just out here floundering, making the best decisions I can. We must stand secure in our convictions and not wander all over the fields of doubt or the what-ifs. This is who I am. I have accepted Jesus as my Savior. I've asked Him to forgive me of my sins. He's filled me with His Holy Spirit. This is who I am. And I will stand on those convictions, and I'm not going to wander all over the fields of doubt that Satan brings my way. Then and only then we will stand secure and at peace regardless of what's thrown at us. There are three principles. No attack is stronger than God's provision. You're going to think it is. But no attack is stronger than God's provision. 1 John 4, verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one in the world. No scheme can penetrate God's armor given us if we have it in place and trusting it. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your paths straight. But also, no attack can prevail over God's church. Yes, it's stumbling here in America. Yes, it's difficult here in America at times. It will get worse. But it will not prevail over God's church. How do I know? Because Jesus told us it would. Matthew 16, 17, and 18, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven, and I will tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Amen. Jesus said that. It's not going to happen. Elisha, the prophet, was having the king of Aram was having problems with it. He was wanting to attack the armies of Israel. But every time he would make a plan, God would reveal that to Elisha, and he would tell the king, and they would bypass it. It made the king of Aram really mad. He was blaming a spy a traitor. And finally one said, hey, there's a man in Israel. What you talk about in your bedroom, he knows. Don't blame us. So they sent his army out to capture this man. It was an early morning, and his servant went out to gather water. And he looked up, and the hills are full of his armies around. No escape. No escape. He went in, rushed in, and told his master,
We are doomed. We are doomed. Elisha said this in 2 Kings 6:16 and 17. Don't be afraid. The prophet answered, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Can you see his servant go, what? Do you know how many men are out there? Their armor on, they're on their horses, they got all of that? Then Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. That is the prayer we need to pray so often. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see with truth you in this circumstance. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. God had not left them. Psalms chapter 34, verse 7, in ending. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and your grace, and I pray now that you make it real. Open our eyes that we may see and understand what you have provided, who I am in you. I'm tired, Lord, of being dictated by my anger. I'm tired of fear running rampant in my life. I'm tired of wilting every time pressure comes. I want to stand strong. I want to know the peace that you have given me. I want to know the righteousness that you have blessed me with. I want to know that belt of truth you've given me. May I learn to use that in my day-to-day life in every experience. Open my eyes that I may see who you are and who I am. Bless now, open up your altars. May we make good decisions, and I praise you in your name. Amen.